So now we're going to start the second part. The second part of the course, and it will concern. So we'll start part two, which be the study of the non-linear Schrödinger equation. There will be several chapters. And just for you, to know where we are, I'll just give you the content of that chapter. So it's chapter 5 in our... It's chapter 5. So the first section we will deal with modulational instability. This is a very famous calculation that is referred over and again on the non-linear Schrödinger equation, and it's interesting to see it in detail. It's also called for Benjamin Sphere instability. It's a simple calculation, but it is very well known, so I think it's important that you see it once. The second section will be about, we'll derive the very famous soliton in 1D, in one-dimensional cubic NLS. This is also a very well-known calculation. The third section we will study the stability of the soliton for transverse perturbation, so soliton instability. For transverse, I will explain perturbation. So you see, this is a cubic NLS 1D, so you have one variable x, and we're going to make perturbation in a direction that is perpendicular to x, in y, if you want. So this will be... And the fourth section is the fluid dynamical form for the NLS equation. So this we call NLS when we need to refer to it. And in particular, there is a transformation that called Madelung transformation. And I would like to discuss that with you. So for those who just arrived, I circulated a new assignment. It's a series of problems that I took from a book, a well-known book by Drazin, on solitary waves, on solitons. And so this is our program for this Tuesday and probably a little bit of next Monday. So we start with the modulation instability. So our starting point will be the nonlinear Schrödinger equation with cubic nonlinearity. Well, the nonlinear Schrödinger equation that we have derived up to before, which is e psi t, and we have derived in one-dimensional setting, but now I will allow this Laplacian to be in dimension. In dimension n, and here gamma is a parameter. It can be positive or negative. It will be important to distinguish between the two cases. And the first remark, very important remark, is that this equation has very simple solutions, exact solutions. They are in the form of C of xt. They do not depend on x, they depend only on t. So C0 is a constant, it's not the initial condition, C0 is a constant, multiplied by the phase factor. The linear in time. Okay, so C0 is a constant. The phase and the amplitude are related, but except for that, the form is very simple. Linear function of T, the phase is the linear function of T, and the amplitude is constant. And it is not difficult to check that this is a solution. When you plug it in, this Laplacian does not appear. When you differentiate with respect to t, you have minus I c0, minus I gamma. You have this I multiplied by, this is a c0 t, this doesn't count, plus zero, plus gamma, all that multiplied by exponential. Exponential. Okay, so this is of course zero. Okay, so these are exact solutions, and we want to calculate their stability properties. And when I say stability, I mean linear stability. So essentially, we will take the solution in the form of this particular exact solution plus a perturbation, and we will see what are the equations satisfied by the perturbation. If the perturbation increases in time, we will say that this solution is unstable, and if they always bounded, we will say that it's stable. So the linear stability properties of this solution. So we write the solution, the general solution of the nonlinear equation, in the form C. So I will consider a small perturbation of the amplitude. All right. So I look for a solution of NLS. In the form of an amplitude that is C0 plus a small perturbation and phi. And it is convenient to rewrite that. So it's clear to see that if I expand this parenthesis, I get 1 plus C tilde. That I'm going to modify immediately. All right. And since we are interested in doing the linear perturbation, I will rewrite this in the form of a linear version of this, which is 1 plus C tilde, cosine is 1, linearly for phi very small, plus I, okay, that's linearization, since we're going to consider infinitesimal perturbation. So we look for a solution C of this form, and I'm going to substitute into the equation. All right. So substitute this formula into an LS. Okay. So what do you get? C0, 1. So when I differentiate with respect to t, there is no 1, so I can put it like this. Ct plus ict, all right, plus ic0. Now I differentiate the respect to t, the exponential. I get I gamma c0 square multiplied by 1 plus it's just a substitution plus, remember that c0 is a constant, this and now the last so I have to take c0 cube, c squared c, you can see it as c squared c bar. I have to take c squared c bar, and c and c bar being given here with the minus, multiply and take the linear part. So the linear part, the linear contribution gives 1 plus 3 times the factor, but it is cubic, and here we have plus I C theta equals. And of course, there is one term that is here, is this one, because it just comes next. Okay. So, when you organize these terms into real and imaginary parts, you get for the imaginary part c tilde plus Laplacian c tilde 0, and for the real part Did I lose something? It must combine, no? Does not combine with something? C tilde, it has a minus 1, right? And 3 minus 1 into the 2. these are the coupled system for real and imaginary part of the perturbation. And if you combine them, so for example, if you take the Laplacian, if you take the t derivative of this one, you differentiate with respect to t, and you substitute phi t by what is here, what you get is dt plus Laplacian square plus this looks like zero because it has been cancelled. Yes, thank you. Oh, you're right. But what should I add here? But look, they cancel. C cube I C. Because it is C squared C bar. C squared C bar, right? 1 C squared. What you're doing, right? Then you take the linear delinearization. So one plus 2 phi plus 2 I phi tilde. You must have done that calculation thousands of times. Plus phi tilde minus I phi tilde, right? And so one, I don't, well, I can write it, but three right, but plus 2 minus 1 is plus I phi, right? So this is this term. But this phi cancels with that one. Yeah, we do this calculation so many times, and each time so can I erase this? So psi zero here is a real number, is real. Positive. It's the amplitude. Amplitude and phase. Okay, so can I erase this little thing here? And I will so, differentiate with respect to t, what do you get? You get gamma. Okay. And here, psi tilde. Okay. So, this is the linear equation for the equation for the linear.
Can you repeat what
you just have done with the system? I just differentiate with respect to t a second time here. So, the first equation. So, you put a t. And the t, and then you replace phi t by t, so you have the Laplacian square. And Laplacian occurs also here. Okay, so now we're going to look for solution c in the form of harmonic functions. So I'm going to look for e k dot x, so k is k1, k2, kn, x1, x2, xn, and an exponential factor of t, and the sine of sigma So I'm going to replace this formula into the equation for the perturbation. I will get a relation between K and sigma. And solving K in terms of sigma, or solving K, if I obtain sigma real, it will give me an instability. And if I get some sigma, if I get for some K sigma real, it will tell me that these wave numbers are unstable. And it's sigma positive, yeah, because you see, we'll do it in a minute, but it will be an equation for sigma square. So there will be plus and minus. Okay, so if I substitute this into the equation, I get, if I want a solution of this form, I get sigma square plus k4, this is a Laplacian square, minus 2 gamma c0, this is real, yes, all right, that's what it was, this is real, you don't need to put up the value, k square, sigma and k must be related like to this, so if I solve sigma in the form minus, the form of k square factor of zero square. All right. Now, what can we say about that? Well, we see that gamma is the parameter in front of the nonlinearity here. It is positive or negative, depending which NLF we choose. If gamma is negative, this sigma square is always negative, so it has solution plus or minus I square root of the positive thing, which leads to a bounded solution. So if gamma is negative, then sigma square is negative, bounded perturbation. Stable. The exact solution is stable. However, when gamma is positive, when we see that when gamma is positive, you see that if you take wave number k that are smaller than this value, these wave numbers will be unstable. Right? However, large wave numbers are stabilized by the dispersion. But if gamma is negative, wave number k such that smaller are unstable, and this instability is called modulational instability. So why modulational instability? Because it was derived it was derived by Benjamin Fair. That's why it's also called Benjamin Fair instability. It was derived by Benjamin Fair in the context of water wave problem. And if you think of the water wave problem that we discussed, you know, some weeks ago already, in two dimensions, if you're looking for weakly nonlinear solution, you make this multiple scale analysis, which consists of modulating the amplitude. The nonlinear Schrödinger appears as an equation that modulates the amplitude, and that's the origin of modulation. Okay. Now. Yes? To your second question, once you take, you mean if you take
so small, you know, then this, for any K you subtract, then you get negative.
Well, the K is from zero, from minus infinity to plus infinity.
Yeah, so only zero, then only zero mode will be unstable.
But even if you think of a, if you think of a box in a periodic domain, if you take a box which is sufficiently large, K will be sufficiently small, and you can always find, given your C0, some modes that are unstable.
But K is the integer. K consists
of integers. Well, K is an integer, or it's more precise. The K is 2 pi over L. How do you call it? KJ. If you take a big box, K can be as small as you want. Now, to your first, what was the first question again?
First question is why.
Yes. So this is an equation that is in the form of a, you know, a dispersive equation. It has solution in the form of exponential ikx. Or if you want, you can say it differently. You see, this is a linear equation. You decompose your solution psi. Think of psi being decomposed in terms of in Fourier modes. And you calculate the stability of the individual Fourier modes through this calculation. That's a way to see it. That's probably the best way to say it. You take a general solution, you decompose, and you study. It's enough to have one mode and see. So, okay, so now some comments about this. First of all, terminology. Often when gamma is negative, the equation up there is called defocusing. And this one is called focusing. Second, it's also called as when gamma is negative, the nonlinearity reinforces the dispersion. So this is a repulsive nonlinearity, and this is called attracting. Attracting. Nonlinearity. And I would like to make more comments about the situation of the water wave problem. To explain more in detail this notion of modulational stability. So, some comments. Instability in modulational instability in the context of water wave problem. All right, so imagine you start with a water wave in two dimensions. You remember the problem is the bottom. You have the equation of the water wave in two dimensions, and you look for weakly nonlinear solutions. So you look for a linear solution in the form of exponential, multiplied by an amplitude that is slowly modulated. Right? So the modulation, the amplitude, so if you remember eta, you look for a solution in the form epsilon. How should I call that? I'm going to call it A, but we're going to change it in a minute. This was the calculation we did some time ago. look for a solution in the form of a sinusoidal wave, and you allow its amplitude to be slowly modulated. So psi is epsilon omega prime of k t, right? Tau equal epsilon 2 t. I should have said also that omega and k are related by the dispersion relation. Omega square k, g k, tan h k. In this case, k is a scalar. You remember that we did that some time ago. And in addition, in this new rescaled variable, flow variable, A satisfies the nonlinear Schrödinger equation. So how does the equation come out? And then I want to discuss these coefficients. Now, to see whether the modulational instability occurs, yes or no, on this equation, what is important is the relative sign of the Laplacian and gamma. Right? So if gamma, if I have written here with a plus sign, so if gamma is negative, it is stable. If gamma is positive, it's unstable. But what is important is the relative sign. So here, what is important is the relative sign of omega double prime and lambda. So to do that, you need to know exactly what is lambda, which is to perform this multiple scale analysis in detail. But I'm going to tell you what is lambda. So first of all, I will tell you that if omega is given like this, which we have calculated before, and you calculate omega double prime is always okay, it's always negative. A calculation, but this is what you can prove. And the second thing which is important is that this lambda, well, it's a function of it depends on hk. The function of hk and multiplied by omega k squared. Okay, so this is also the calculation that comes down from the multiple scale analysis. So, you know, if you want to know whether lambda is positive or negative, you have to study you can always take omega positive, right? So you have to study the function h, this big function h, in term of hk. So it's a complicated function, but you can do it, you know, numerically. You have a formula for h, and if you do the you want to draw this function h of hk, which is explicit, you get something like this. So this is k hk, h of k, get something like that. So this h crosses the axis at this point, which is hk critical, which is 1, 3, 6, 3. So what does that mean? It means that if if h is sufficiently small, h is positive, lambda is positive. So the signs are opposite. We are in the stable case. If h is sufficiently large, so if you are deep water, we are on this side of the curve, both coefficients are negative, and we are on the case of instability. So what I would like to, let me write down this remark. linearly unstable. Small k are unstable, yes, but so the conclusion is if we are in deep water, if we are in deep water, which means h sufficiently large, then the modulational instability occurs. And it is in this context that Benjamin Fear discovered the instability. They found that critical number here. And if you look, for example, in the book of Wittam, Linear and Nonlinear Waves, the derivation of the modulational instability and the derivation of this particular number is obtained. Maybe not as systematically as when I showed it to you, but it was already a well-known fact. It's due to Benjamin. Okay, so this puts into the relation all these notions. H is small. If H is given, we know the K that are unstable. Where are they? Smaller than 2 gamma. So what is important is lambda over on the omega double prime. For k smaller than this, it is unstable. So what is your question? That's why I'm saying, but it's not completely. This is a function of. Well, it's not the same k. You have to be careful. It's not the same k. This is the k that calculates the linear stability of this special simple solution. But this gives only the linear stability or instability. Now, you know, in one dimension, the modulation instability develops into the occurrence of solitary waves, and these solitary are stable, and that they are structures, important structures of the nonlinear Schrödinger equation. In two dimensions, the modulational instability, the linear modulational instability. responsibility develops into a focusing solution that blow up. So this gives us only the linear beginning of the development, and you see in 1D that you have modulational instability, but at the same time you have the solitary wave. Instability doesn't mean blow up, it means. Okay, so this is the modulational instability for the elliptic NLS. And now I want to make some remark about the case where you want to perform the same analysis. Example of hyperbolic NLS. So I'm going to consider the equation in two dimensions. So this I did in any dimension. Right? Now I'm going to take the case of the two dimensions, and I'm going to consider the following equation. Now, if you remember last week, we derived the Davis-Stewartson system from the KP equation. Right? And I said, if you derive the Davis-Stewartson system from the water wave problem, you have a lot of freedom out coefficients. In one of the special cases, which is deep water, the Davis-Stewartson system reduces to this 2D NLS with non-elliptic operator. Do you remember that remark we made last week? So this is a motivation why I may be interested in considering this equation. This equation occurs in some cases as limiting equation of the water wave problem in 3D for deep water. Okay, so this is just a remark. Now perform. Again, you have exact solutions in the form C0 exponential I gamma 0 P0 T. Because these solutions don't depend on X, Y. And then you can also, again, calculate their linear stability. The calculation is exactly the same. It was here. Except that instead of absolute value of k, now you have k1 square minus k2 square. So the linear stability analysis leads to an equation for sigma and k in the form sigma square a picture in the K space, K1, K2, you have the two asymptotes like this. And asymptote to the hyperbola. So I'm going to draw the hyperbola. Oops. Not doing it either. Wait again. Another platform. K1, K2. All right. So the mode, the K, K1, K2 that are inside, K1, K2, the modes K1, K2 that are inside between the parabola. And the asymptotes are unstable. And now the nonlinear development of the instability depends very much on the dimension. Here we have two dimensions. It's a complicated analysis. Okay, so I will stop here for the modulational instability. And now I will derive for you the soliton in one dimension. So we will start with the plus sign, with the focusing NLS, and later, once we find the solution for the focusing NLS, I will make a comment about the defocusing. What's happening in the defocusing NLS when you put a minus? Okay, so for the moment, we're dealing with this equation, and we look for solutions in the form of traveling waves. So we look for a solution C in the form V of Xi. So Xi will be X minus UT. And V will be real. And we're going to put a phase. And for those who have some experience, you know that you will have to put a linear phase in X and T. All right. So this will be the form of the solution. You see, if you would say, I look only for a solution, I look just at the profile V, you can avoid this take U equals 0. But if you can avoid this linear phase in X, but you need still a linear phase in T to compensate on the complex part. So this is a more general form, and you can see that it comes out nice. So we look for solution V, such the function V that tends to 0 as C goes to infinity. And this in the literature they are called bright soliton. In contrast to the case where, well, now I'm going to give the remark I wanted to give later. When you look for solution with a minus of the NLS, when you look for solitary wave of the defocusing NLS, you can't find solution, non-trivial solution that decreases to zero at infinity. They must have a non-trivial behavior at infinity. And in that case, the solution obtained are called dark. So I'll say that later. But since I gave the name, I should make this. Okay. So, of course, you substitute this psi into NLS. And here I have taken the parameter gamma equals 1. You can always eliminate to have it 1. And you get, so I'm just going to copy the substitution. If I write it a little bit nicer, minus F and we'll comment that in a minute. Okay, so this is just substitution. This is a substitution, and in these equations, R and S are parameters that I will choose. I can look or find or choose. U is also a parameter, and I want V to be real. So if I want V to be real, I'm going to take R and S such that this coefficient is zero. My first choice. It's capital U here, it's not F. Sorry. Yeah. So my argument is still there. I want to choose R so that this coefficient vanishes. Thank you. So choose R and U such that R equals U over 2. And so this I take 0. And this I'm going to call it alpha. So the equation becomes and to solve this equation I want to find Z. So to solve this equation you multiply by V prime you get that V prime square over 2 prime minus alpha V square over 2 prime minus plus equals 0, and since we have assumed that V tends to 0 and also its derivative, you want something that goes fast to 0, I can drop the prime and find that V prime square equals two. So V must satisfy this nonlinear ODE. So now since we want solutions that are real, I must take alpha positive. Alpha is this, where is alpha? Alpha is R square minus S. It must be positive. And a better way to write this equation is to introduce W is 1 over V. If you write W equals 1 over V, the equation becomes W prime square equals alpha V square W square minus 1/2. And this equation has solutions. It has solution in the form W of X equals 2 alpha square root divided by hyperbolic cosine . So this is a solitary wave of NLS. Hyperbolic cosine 1 over hyperbolic cosine. It's a very nice function like this. And if I go back to, well, no, I should not have said that. What, this is not, what is it? This is V. V of 5, thank you. This is V. W is the opposite. So V indeed. So let me with. Write the solution. So V is related, is here. So let me go back psi of x and t equals. So R must be U over 2. And S, what is S? And S is, it's minus alpha plus. So the resulting formula after this substitution is exponential I. So this is R U over 2 S plus T. So here I have to replace S. Okay. And now I can always add a phase because the equation is invariant by phase translation. So I write the most general solution. And then if you want to take one of these parameters 0, you are free to do that. Here, x minus ut, and I can always put also translation, since it's invariant by translation. Okay, so this is a classical solution of MLS. So you see, if you take u, this the presence of u here. And there reflects the Galilean invariance, and the presence of x0 and phi0 represent the invariance by phase and invariance by translation. And at this stage, alpha is free and u is free. Okay. And the remark is that if you now deal with defocusing NLS and you want non-trivial solutions, you must take solutions that do not decrease at infinity, do not vanish at infinity. And this solution can be found that I call dark solution. So we will not discuss that today. So alpha, yes, alpha and u are independent. Yeah? So u can always take it zero. U is its invariance by translation. So what is important is alpha. All the rest can be. They tend to a constant. Okay. So. Sorry? I don't know, they are also the gray solitons. I don't remember what it is. There is a reason related to optics, to nonlinear optics, the right and the. So we've done 1, 2. I'm making too much noise with this. For those who have studied in other courses or for by yourself, in the scattering method, when applied to the nonlinear Schrödinger equation, these solitary waves are those who are stable, who emerge after collisions untouched, in a sense, almost untouched, and are very stable, nonlinearly stable patterns. Now, what I would like to study is the stability of these solutions, or instability, the stability of soliton to transverse perturbation. Essentially, I'm going to consider the nonlinear Schrödinger equation again in three dimensions. Well, this is in one dimension, but I will allow a term in the y direction, and I would like to see the stability. So, of course, this solitary wave. I'm going to take lambda. I'm going to study the both cases, lambda equals plus or minus 1 at the same time. And we know that particular solutions, well, we have particular solutions, those that we just found now, that do not depend on y, they have the form C0 of x. So I'm going to take that soliton with u equals 0. I don't need to have it move. U equals 0, and so it is here, right? So exponential I alpha t, and its amplitude that was represented by z, I'm going to call it capital Psi. Okay? So capital Psi, we know what it is. Capital Psi satisfies, well, it satisfies this equation. And sometimes, if we want, we can always have also its explicit form if we need it. Okay, so this is a particular solution that we just found. And I want to see, to calculate, to make a perturbation, to perturb this exact solution by perturbation that may depend on y. And study the stability of this particular solution to the perturbation in the transverse direction. And you will see that I will not be able to do it in a general case. So you will not see that I cannot do it in the general case. But the general case is still an open problem. It's not very well understood. So what I will do, I will restrict myself to perturbation which are long wave perturbation, long wave transfer perturbation. I will explain that. Long wave. Which means, I will explain a little bit more carefully later, but it means that the perturbation will not depend on the variable y, but they will suppose that depends on a flow variable epsilon y. I will explain in a minute more in detail. But this means that big y is of order one when small y is of order one over epsilon, when it is large. So the fact that I will suppose that my perturbation in the y variable depend only on slowly on y is the same as saying the long wave. Long wave represents. Okay, so we'll do it in precise, but this is the way that it is translated in asymptotic language. Okay. In the process of this calculation, we will see a number of elementary elements that come over and over again in all these stability calculation or proofs of solitary wave or more general in higher dimension standing waves. So these pieces of calculation come again and again. For those of you who have some experience, it is quite classical. Okay. So we're going to perturb. Oh, we're going to look for a solution. Of NLS, right? Again, in the form psi, xp, capital psi, and if you remember, it would be exactly the same idea of this perturbation. So I will suppose psi in the form 1, like we did here, psi tilde, exponential. I alpha t alpha. Okay, so I let you digest this formula first. So big psi exponential I alpha t is the solution. This is the soliton. Okay, and I perturb its amplitude and phase. Okay, so just exactly as we did up there. Yes, well, this y dependence will come in here. So if you want x, and at this moment I did not make any assumption. So this c tilde and y tilde will depend on x and y. Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. So if you do exactly the same thing as we have done up there, you can rewrite this infinitesimal perturbation in the form of, I have to be, I will write C0 of x, I should have x and t, right? C0 of x and t plus f plus ig so it's exactly the same calculation as above. F is c, the big C multiplied by this kind. You know, I'm sorry, I'm going to change that later. I'm sorry. I'm going to put chi here. Because otherwise I have too many too many psi. And G is psi multiplied by phi theta. Okay? So it's exactly the calculation up there. The psi tilde, well, the psi zero psi tilde is here F, right? And psi zero phi tilde is G. And the psi zero of before is what is my big psi here, which depends on X. Right? Before it was constant, then depends. Okay, so this is a formula. And then you have to substitute in LLS. And we'll stop here with the system. We get LR, which is the real part of the linear operator, we detail here. F equals dt minus lambda Fyy. I have not yet made any assumption about this. It was just a parenthesis when we're going to use it. But at this moment, I just substitute in LEIJ. So this is a linearization near the solution C0, which is a solitary wave. And what are all LR and LI? Well, they're the linearized operator near this solitary wave. So LR of U, if you want, is two derivatives minus alpha plus three big psi square applied to U, and Li is so it's the real and imaginary part. I have separated real and imaginary. And okay, so we are here. We'll stop here. We have the linearized system. I suggest that for those of you who think that it is not completely evident, you just plug this equation in this formula into the nonlinear Schrödinger equation and linearize. Take the just a linear term. And next week we will solve this system. And this is when we will solve by perturbation. Okay, so we'll stop here.